Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's only mortal, folks. Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million, buy you furniture for your house, maybe a nice Chesterfield or an ottoman. And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a K car,
a nice Reliant automobile.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, May 20th, 2026, and here's a familiar voice to Speak Out listeners.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm just fine, Paul.
Awesome. Sam Scarmardo is here. He is the candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. And
the most qualified candidate.
Well, you know what a qualified candidate is, right? The person who gets their signatures, files their signatures, gets on the ballot. But you've done this rodeo before.
Yes, I did, 30 years ago.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
What were your... what do you think were your biggest achievements, accomplishments, or what did you champion when you were on the council?
Very reasonable and equitable expenditures. See, we got over here, the reason I ran for city council is because they passed that 1.5% or 1% bar and restaurant tax, which was supposed to be targeted at the visitors, not at the locals. Mm-hmm. And it turned out the visitors only visit during the summertime. You know, during the winter time, it's the stingy old people from Minnesota and North Dakota and everything, and they don't spend an awful lot of money at the bars and restaurants. Well, they didn't 30 years ago anyway, and that burned me up just a little bit because we eat out a lot. We're busy and we eat out a lot, and I'm not much of a drinker, so the bar and restaurant the bar tax didn't really affect me. But then they came, and then the city council that was on there when I moved here, they decided to take that 1.5% bar and restaurant tax and hire they called it the tourism board then. It's Gold Lake Havasu now, and it was still PED. And the 4 years I was on city council, let me digress for a moment.
Well, it was called the Lake Havasu Convention and Visitors Bureau, correct?
Oh, that was second or third.
Or the CVB. Oh,
yeah,
that,
CVB.
Really? That was the
it said, it said, okay. It said more names than my dog. But,
Any rate,
oh yeah, she's a little sweetie though.
Anyway, go ahead, Sam.
So any rate, they did that, and then the next thing they did, which was really an affront, and it was unethical, and it turned out illegal. They created something called the Municipal Property Corporation, so that they could borrow $18 million with no collateral or anything to build the aquatic center.
Was there a vote of the council required, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
To create the Municipal Property Corporation, MPC they called it. Mm-hmm. And they paid for they built the Aquatic Center and the police station and the Fire Academy on North Kiowa, all without approval of the people, because the people had already, you know, the electorate had already said no on it. And, they got over here and... they did such a fine job at this. And the aquatic centers are great. They're all three great facilities. The aquatic center, after they got it all done, they had never designed or paid for a road in and out. Oh. So basically, there was no way to get to the aquatic center. So but the, one of the first things that the council I was on did was condemn a little strip of land to get in there and so you could actually go to the aquatic center. So they were, it was just expenditure extra after expenditure after expenditure. That were stupid expenditures. I mean, you put it up to something like that, you put it up to the voters. If the voters say yeah, then you do it. You don't just four individual.
Every Band-Aid costs a little bit more money.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. So I'm not even worried about the street getting into the aquatic center. That was just kind of a cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake. And so we went in here, and I pulled a packet, and I was having trouble with the zoning, too. And I own two lots on Amberwood. Okay. And the guy in between us brought in 2,600 truckloads of dirt, raised his lot, 19 feet, 4 inches, and I bitched and moaned to the city.
Wait, raised it?
19 feet, 4 inches.
Wow, that's two stories.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
So at any rate, I talked to, let's see, we had two or three city managers, interim city managers right then. They're, I'm trying to think of the names. We ended up with Bruce Williams, who did a great job. First thing he did was fire all three of the people who were involved.
I remember him.
Yeah, and he and I butted heads an awful lot. But, you know, he was a good city manager as far as that goes. He just does, as all city managers seem to do, this one included, they go and get themselves a majority on the city council to pass what they want done. And one of the first things we got done was, if you ever looked at one of the council members' agendas, they look like a Scottsdale phone book.
Sure.
You know, not the little one they put on the desk when you walk in to a council meeting. Well, the end of every single item has a staff recommends, or staff suggests, staff recommends voting yes, voting no. Hey, they didn't elect staff. The voters didn't elect staff. They elected us, the seven people to represent the city council as elected officials.
Right.
And policymakers. Well, we changed that. After all, it was just, it got a lot less intrusive. In fact, it wasn't there an awful lot.
Okay.
The suggestions from staff, we call it staff infection. And, it was, you know, they really weren't, we changed it all. In 4 years, we changed it to where started out for $18 million in the bank. When I left office, we had 53 or 51, something like that, million dollars.
And you were vice mayor at one time.
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Okay. I want to get to present day because I have a lot of questions. What do you see as the single most important issue facing Lake Havasu City, and what would you do about it as a council member?
Well, I would put the first of all, another thing they did, if I could go back a second here,
okay,
is they moved the call to the public, which are the people who pay the bill, from the beginning. It used to be the first 5-10 minutes of every council meeting. Now it's at the very end when everybody's gone home and fed their dogs and put the car in the garage, and the people that were there in the audience have all left that had something to say. That'd be one of the first things I would do is I want input from the populace, the people who actually pay the bills. The voters, people actually pay the bills. And to me, that was an affront as far as I'm concerned. I was highly offended when they did that.
That was actually my next question, but I'll skip to this one. What, if anything, Sam, would you change about how the Lake Havasu City Council conducts business, communicates with the public, and handles major decisions, besides the call to the public?
I just don't think that they connect enough. They don't connect enough with the public. You know, the public can come in there and sit in here, and they don't I've seen them actually get over and ignore the public when they want to speak. And to me, that's the public is the one who pays the bills. They're the ones who actually pay the taxes, pay the fees, and everything. They actually pay the bills to keep the lights on in the city hall.
Okay. Do you have a solution to the city's housing situation that can actually be addressed at the local level, like an actual policy?
There's no such thing.
What do you mean?
I mean, addressing the housing, you're going to subsidize them? Shake your head. Yeah, that's not.
No,
that's
I'm
not
shaking
our
my head.
Business.
No, well, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's not something that the city fathers, the city elected officials need to worry about. Is housing? As much as I concern myself with it, building $250,000 tiny houses on every empty lot is not a way to do it. I mean, something like that. Those are basically garages with a kitchen. Or, you know, the sink that used to be in your office without a sink here, kitchen without a sink.
The speak out kitchen with no sink. That's
yeah,
right.
So it's for all intents and purposes, they're, you know, they're what, 500, 600 square feet? I think the minimum they can be is 500 square feet. And some of them are, like the ones up by the high school, beautiful. Very nice, very well done, very nice. The ones across the street from the police station, you know, those are meh. That's the best I could say.
M-E-H.
M-E-H. Meh.
Meh. All right. Meh. How should Main Street Commons fit into the city's larger downtown strategy, or is that something that you would leave up to local businesses?
No, first of all, I was opposed to Commons from the minute that the city overpaid $300,000 for the lots. I mean, they were appraised at $800,000 or $880,000, and we ended up paying like $1.2 million, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've built a bathroom for bums.
Uh-huh.
And when it's closed, they have a porta-potty next to it. So I didn't realize that the bums who don't contribute anything and don't pay tax, and I shouldn't say bums. That's probably 1950s, 1960s terminology for homeless people. The vast majority of which want to be homeless.
So vagrants. Is that a better word?
No, bums is
bums.
A better word.
Okay.
Bums is definitely a better word.
Okay. Have you seen that happen? Because I haven't. Is there a picture or a video floating around that I haven't seen? Or?
Of what?
The bums, as you say, using the
That's right
the
where they all hang out. It's right, oh, there, it right there okay. in the wash, right there, you know, below below the shambles.
It's not my scene, so, okay.
That's not my scene either, but I do drive by it fairly frequently.
I got you.
All the park benches have a little encampment on them. Well, when I was on city council, we had a solution for it. We get one or two homeless people at a time, and we just give them $10 a gallon of water and drop them off at the covered wagon and needles.
Oh, okay. 854-568-7928-854-KNTR if you want to talk to Sam Scarmato or you have a question. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566. That's the KNTR text line. And make this talk and text radio, not just listen radio, folks. Is it the city council's responsibility to make sure that the city supports local business events and the community life?
Well, in a limited term, yeah. I mean, if it's something that we're going to actually get revenue out of, I've got a couple degrees, one degree in finance and one degree in accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the situation, there are events which are going to return, have a financial return to the city.
Right.
And then there's ones that are just touchy-feely, feel-good type things. And there's a little bit of that can be supported, too. But if you get down to the point where I don't want to end up like California. I mean, we got Gavin Nuisance over there. Newscom.
I haven't heard Nuisance. That's a good one. Yeah.
Gavin Newscom. And I look at some of the people with the exception of Steve Hilton. He's the only one. I sent him a check the other day. So,
Well, speaking of those major events, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. I'm used to it with you.
Oh, stop it. Desert Storm is probably the major
it's
event.
It's a big one, yeah.
And major events like Desert Storm pay permit fees to host their event.
Right.
Do you think it's fair that those events are charged fees? I've seen the checks that they write for that.
Yeah.
And they're very large. Do you think it's fair to those events that are charged those fees, even though they're bringing in major sources of tax revenue?
See, my point of view on that is the fact that whatever the actual fees and expenses are, that's what they should be charged. As far as I'm concerned, I've seen the checks too. And they're, as far as I'm concerned, they're exorbitant. For the services that the city gets, what does the city do? They have some police, and a lot of the police are off-duty cops working. And so we pick up the garbage when it's all over and done with and wash down the streets. And they're a mess. I mean, I had a business up until December on Main Street there for 27 years. And ex post facto, the next day, my guys would have to go out and sweep the sidewalks and pick up gum wrappers and candy, especially the Halloween trick or treat day.
Oh,
what a mess!
Fright night.
Fright night, yeah.
Uh huh.
You know, what a mess that was. After the fact, it was just a total garbage fest. And there's about every 100 meters, there's a garbage can out there on basically every Main Street event. Mm-hmm. So they should, the kids should be smart enough to use that. They're getting bags full of free candy. And I sponsored it a couple times, did it, and, you know, it was basically the one time I was running for mayor and I sponsored it. And the nasty, well, how should we, why should we elect this guy? He ran out of candy.
What now?
Yeah.
Who ran out?
Me.
Oh, you, because you ran out of candy?
And I was using full-size Reese cups and full-size Snickers and everything, and they were, of course.
You were that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That's why you ran out.
And you know, I wasn't like the other candidate had little mints, the little white mints with the red stripes on them. And they're like, you know, a ton for $10. And I spent, I think, probably $500 or $600 on candy for Fright Night. And we actually had sushi and wine coolers for the parents.
Oh, wow.
So it was a lot of fun. We sat out there in the front in the park in lawn chairs and talked with people, handed out literature. And I didn't even make it a campaign event. It worked out that way. But the nasty stuff that was on
social
Facebook
media.
And social media post facto, that was like, that was said never again.
I'm going to get one more question and we'll take a short break. What specific goals would you want Lake Havasu City to achieve over the next 4 years, and how would you measure the success of those goals?
Well, first of all, I'd like to get rid of Go Lake Havasu. Bring it in-house.
Okay.
And bring the PED or whatever they're calling it this week, the PED. I think it's still a PED, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Partnership for Economic Development.
Yeah, see, when I was on council before, it was shortly after the initiation of those two. And we would go to the budget meetings, the quarterly budget meeting and the big budget meeting in June. And I'd say, what I want is some quantitative and qualitative statements on your part for what you've actually done for the city. And the one that I remember and strikes me as a vivid memory was the guy who was running the PED at the time, and I don't remember his name. He said, well, we brought a director here. I said, that's you.
Gary Kellogg.
No, it wasn't Gary Kellogg.
Not yet.
Gary was a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, it was after Gary. So, yeah, Gary's a friend of mine.
Okay.
At any rate.
He's probably listening in Kingman right now.
Is that where he's living now?
That's what he does in Kingman. Yeah.
Really?
Or he was, yeah. Him and Bennett Bratley. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Gary. I tell you a Gary story. I built my one house, the house two doors down from where I live now.
Uh-huh.
And I called up and I had a telephone pole right in my kitchen window, a power pole. So I called him up and I says, well, do you think you could squeeze it in your guys' busy schedule and maybe move that into a ground box? He said, yeah, we could probably do that. So I go and step in the shower and I hear all this racket going on. I look out and that light pole is tipping over and going into the wash. It was that quick.
Wow.
Like, hour.
It was Citizens Utilities then?
Yeah, it was Citizens Utilities at the time, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short break. A little Luke Combs, even though I'm leaving. And Sam Scarmato, our guest, he's running for Lake Havasu City Council. And he's a one-time council member. Absolutely.
And 3.5-time vice mayor.
All right, perfect. And we'll take a short break, come back. If you want to talk to Sam, it's 928-854-5687. Or text in your questions at 928-727-5566. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Sam Scarmato, our guest, candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and from the mind of Dallas Finch. You know what's coming here, right, Sam?
Yeah,
it's not
chair.
It's not the long script, though.
Oh, okay.
Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper on Main Street in Havasu. Check out the Speak Out archive right after this show, usually about 12:15, kntrtalk.com. Just go to the Speak Out tab and be posted.
Isn't that the group that owns the chair also?
Yes. Yes. And they're a sponsor also, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Correctamundo.
I was a sponsor for years.
Yeah, you were. But there's no, you don't own the store.
No, I'm
and
sure
I'm not
don't.
Supposed to talk about it, you said. Right? I was going to ask you, hey, Sam, did you? But anyway. Recent island development proposals have renewed questions about shoreline access and preservation. What standards or guarantees should the city require before approving island and shoreline projects?
Well, whatever they decide we need, it needs to be in writing. I mean, we got a notarized agreement that has happened. We got screwed on the condo development just north of the bridge in the channel.
Okay.
On the land side.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be 100 feet. It turned out being like 15 feet. And go back a few years, like 30, because we actually were the council that zoned the foothills.
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman that was there, and I do not remember his name, because that's 30 years ago, a long time. He was a Korean guy, that much I know. Nice guy, real nice guy. He said, if you zone this, and I don't do a very good Korean imitation, so if you do this, I will put a fire station, a school, and four parks. Well, I mean, we were up there the other day. We drove up there looking around. I looked as hard as I could. I couldn't see a fire station or a school or four parks. There's one little park about the size of this room, but...
A little pocket park, they call it?
A little pocket park, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So, you know, I want it in writing. Anything they promise, I want it in writing. Like the guy that says he's going to help with the bridge, you know, on the 90 acres or 88 acres, whatever it was.
Right.
And, you know, there was a bunch of us that were actually going to bid for that piece of property. Because I know exactly what he's doing. And he's got a real long record of buying and flipping land is what it is.
This is the Scottsdale developer you're talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got a record of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I'm a capitalist. But I want him to put it in writing.
Okay.
Because he's talking about helping with the bridge, and he's not going to build anything unless the bridge is here and blah, 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 blah. And we, you know, we started the bridge 30 years ago. We had to fund $1 million per year, every year on the capital improvement budget. Went in there, and when I got off, the next year I came from the budget meeting, I says, where's the $2.3 million that was in the bridge fund? I don't know. I've heard of a bridge fund.
Wow.
So, you know, the city fathers used it for something else, whatever they needed money funded for. I'm not saying anybody stole it. I'm just saying they used it elsewhere than what it was dedicated for.
So we got to wind this down, and you'll have a second half hour coming up in June. I believe it's June 22nd, if I remember right.
Okay.
So last Monday in June, and or the fourth Monday in June. So I'm going to have you tell the Havasu audience, why is Sam Scarmato running for Lake Havasu City Council?
Because the city manager, I think I said it in the newspaper yesterday or Wednesday, they have the questions they send out every week, and we're supposed to answer them, and most of us answer it on a regular. I missed it a couple of weeks ago because I totally forgot about it. But I think right now the way the city's just the city processes and financial aspects and the way the city's run right now is the city manager gives the mayor orders, and the mayor passes along to his pocket votes, and he's got three pocket votes, so we have a lot of 4-3 votes. Mm-hmm. I want to see 3-4 votes. That's fourth, at least a minimum of, and if Neil gets elected and I get elected and Michelle Lynn gets reelected, then there'll be a definitely, that would be a, well, I don't know, it depends who wins the mayor's position. I thought Cal was on pretty much unbeatable, but now I've listened to River Dave, and he's a good speaker. Darn good speaker. So I don't know what this shake is. I'm concerned with the position I'm running for. And if I don't get elected, I don't get elected. But I want to see the decisions made in the city by the elected officials, the policymakers, as representing what the people, what the populace wants, the voters want.
And what you were saying at the top of the interview, if you missed it, folks, was that has a lot to do with call to the public, doesn't it?
It does a lot. That's one of the things. Yeah, the call to the public, it was a slap in the face to the public when they moved it to the back of the very last item on the agenda. It used to be for years and years and decades it was the first item on the agenda. And it never took more than a few minutes. And very rarely, a couple times a year, it'd get into a yelling match. But, you know, that was about it. See, and this, people don't realize the city council can't respond.
Right.
You know, because it's not on the agenda. They're not allowed to respond. They can basically sit there and shake their head, nod, and shake it no in the whole nine yards, but you can't say anything because it's not on the agenda. You can only, that's part of open meetings. And you can only, if four city council members go to a picnic together, it has to be posted.
Because it's a quorum.
Yeah, it's a quorum, yeah.
Gotcha.
And you could actually, for all intents and purposes, pass things.
Well, I'm not playing you off, but I kind of am. Because you're going to be back next month,
right?
Whole new set of questions. And, again, Sam Scarmardo, our guest, candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. Don't forget, early voting starts on June 24th. Yes, a Wednesday, which is kind of strange to me, but... And then you have the primary elections on the 21st of July.
July.
And I'll be working that night, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Election results, right?
Well, we did. I was there, sat there when we get Trump got elected.
Right, right.
I worked that election results night.
All right. Well, Sam, best of luck, and we'll see you next month.
Okay.
All right. Neil Tinsley's up next. He's a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council as well. And I'm going to take it to break, 928-854-5687. If you have questions, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Thanks, Sam.
And we're putting up signs. Neil and I are putting up signs here as soon as he's done.
Oh, perfect.
So,
all right.
I'll finish this soda that I mooched off of you out there in the waiting room.
No problem. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
My brothers and my sisters, I'm a proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy,
all right, welcome back to Speak Out, and our next guest is right here across from me, Neil Tinsley, candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Another day in paradise.
First time with the headsets on, right?
Yes, sir.
I get used to it. If you get elected, you may come in here more often than you think.
I'd love to.
All right, perfect. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, also Shooter's Outpost, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget to buy local. You know this line?
Or
it's
yes.
Buy local.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
All right. Neil Tinsley, our guest. And again, phone lines are open, or you can text at 928-727-5566. And, if it's a constructive question, not combative or anything, we can read it on the air. And, I'm going to ask you, Neil, why did you go and pull petitions? Why are you running for city council?
Well, being born and raised here, I've seen a lot of things over the years. Really, it boils down to, I don't really like seeing where the town's going. I don't feel like we're, giving the actual local residents enough attention. I don't see where we're focusing on them, and I'd really like to see the focus turn more to the residents to really push the town where it needs to go.
I hear that a lot, being as that I've lived here. This is my second time here. Is it too much traffic? Is it too much growth without being managed correctly? What do you think?
Growth without infrastructure. I feel like the youth has definitely been kind of left behind a little bit. When I was growing up here, I moved to Vegas for 10 years to get employment opportunity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a lot more growth. I'd like to, you know, see a lot more of, you know, town beautification going on. We could use a lot of things, and I don't really see it happening. I just want to get in there and try to make the biggest difference I can and give back to the community what they've given to me so far, which is the most beautiful place to live in the country, in my opinion.
It definitely has its perks. So you talked about kids and not a lot of opportunities for them, or I'm not sure what you meant by that. Is it like not enough ball fields or not enough parks?
Well, I mean, I know that's an issue right now. Definitely. I hope they're starting to address. But employment opportunity as well. We don't have a lot of, jobs for the youth here. And it has to do a lot with, we do need more industry in this town. So
right.
There's a lot of things that we could push for to really help pump up the youth and get them, employed with good paying jobs and create futures here to where they don't have to, go to Las Vegas like I did. I want to see the kids stay here. This is it's a beautiful town, and a lot of people are proud to call it their hometown.
Yeah, workforce retention for sure. But what should the city do to make Lake Havasu City more attractive and sustainable for working families and young professionals and future employers like yourself?
So, I mean, really, we have the PED, and I haven't really seen them do too much over the years. Nothing that's remarkable, right? I feel like we could be doing a lot better a job. I personally would like to bring it in-house. Kingman and Bullhead both have their PED and their Tourism Bureau in-house.
Correct.
And they're leaving us in the dust. And we are the gem of Mojave County, and I want to see us, I'm competitive. I want to see us do better than them.
Are there businesses in Kingman and Bullhead that you would have rather seen come to Lake Havasu City?
Offhand, not in particular. I do know, there's a lot of industry that's gone out on the I-40 on the outskirts of Kingman. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of industry in Kingman. I definitely would like to see more industry in Lake Havasu, preferably out there by, Walmart. There's some great areas. I know we had an opportunity zone out behind the airport. I don't know what happened to that, but I didn't really see too much, go in there other than the Romer beverages, which I'm grateful for. But I definitely would push to bring more manufacturing jobs and industry to this town. On top of that, it would generate the metrics that we need to bring in more retail. I'd like to see a little bit more retail stores here, which would create more jobs as well. But we don't have the metrics to meet what they right. want.
So as the city finalizes its 2026 general plan update, what long-term vision would you have wanted to see reflected in Lake Havasu City's future growth?
Future growth? Oh, man. Mainly, I'd like to see more of the focus on some of the youth. We have a lot of things for, there's a lot of amenities for elderly people here, and we are a majority of retirees and stuff in town, but we need to make sure that we can support that workforce. Otherwise, the retirees aren't going to have, the support they need when they need it.
Do you like call to the public at the beginning of a meeting or at the end, and what is the reason for your decision?
So, personally, I would like to see it go to the beginning of the meeting. It begins to like drag out, and normally in the city council meetings, you kind of see people start disappearing towards the end. And we need to start addressing people right off the rip, and it would really, it would just help get more public engagement. No one wants to sit there till the very end to bring up what they got to say. I think it does need to go in the beginning. So
now you're a small business owner, right?
Yes.
What is your business?
I own Lakeside Towing, and I own Clean Concepts. So
you're Lakeside Towing, you're out and about. Clean yes. Concepts, what's that?
It's a window tinting and paint protection film company here locally. We specialize in just protecting your investments. We also do residential and commercial window film installs for houses, buildings, a lot of different things, safety security film. So
Is it difficult, or I should say, compared to Las Vegas, I don't know, did you have a business in Las
yes.
Vegas? Is it more difficult to have a business here? Is it a climate that's conducive to small business and running a small business and getting the employees you need?
So my businesses are family owned and operated.
Okay.
Every bit of my family works there. Makes it, it gives me a chance to hold people more accountable, because I can say things to my family that you can't typically say to employees.
You don't have to worry about HR.
Yeah, and we're very prideful, So they all know it's all of our names on it. And as far as being easier, Vegas is a very cutthroat market, so I didn't have a towing company there. I really didn't want to compete with some of the big dogs out there. People had a lot more money than me, and you know, there's just no competing in that aspect.
What about with regard to fees, business license, you know, and other fees?
You know, it really, the fees weren't really that bad up there.
What about here, though, compared to?
It's cheaper. It's definitely cheaper. It was easier for me here because I was born and raised here. I know everybody. And I also, you know, I did have a window tint business here prior to going to Las Vegas. So a lot of my customers still traveled to Vegas. And then when I came home, I opened a satellite shop first, and it was blowing up, and everybody wanted me to come back. And so, and then being back home, I missed home. So I did everything I could to just fully move back full time.
Right. Do you have a solution to the city's housing situation that can actually be addressed at the local level, like an actual policy?
So housing situation, explain to me.
Well, there's a lack of, for a lot of people, that call affordable housing. And then you have the ones that used to be available are now short-term rentals.
Yes.
But that's starting to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, so are you more concerned with the rental part or people being able to purchase houses because of prices?
Both.
Both. Mm-hmm. So I have looked lately. I mean, I've seen rentals come down in price. I do know they were astronomical a year or two ago. It was pretty bad. Solutions for something like that, I mean, it would really depend on getting the public engagement on what, you know, the public wants. This isn't just my decision, but a solution that we could look into would be, you know, putting pressure on these short-term, you know, rentals, these Airbnbs. There's a lot of them, and that's what, you know, continuously makes the housing market harder. You know, they're making more money off of just, you know, renting these things on the weekends and stuff than they could renting it. And I do kind of understand the purpose behind it, because they have more control over their properties. You know, they get to see them more. It's a great business, mm-hmm. you know, to be in. But as far as for our residents, it's not very beneficial. You have, you know,
right.
the short-term rental headaches that go on and stuff like that. So it's a, you know, it's a toss-up, but there is solutions to it, but it would be mainly just getting the public engagement. I think let the city speak on what they want.
Okay. Do you support the second bridge? And give us your interpretation of the project. What do you know about the project?
I do know it's needed. It's a huge safety issue out there. Just recently, I own Lakeside Towing, and that Mustang crashed into the other car, and it was gridlocked. And
is
so
it recent?
Yes, this was 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh wow.
So to me, I do feel like it's a necessity. I'd like to see events with the bridge too, and that would give us the opportunity that if we did want to do events on the bridge, we could. There's a lot of benefits to it. I believe that it would absolutely benefit our city to have the second bridge.
They used to have events on the bridge back in the Pioneer days, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I have heard of that. What should the city do to make Lake Havasu City more attractive and sustainable? Actually, I already asked you that question. Sorry about that. What are your goals for parks and recreation and public amenities? And do you have a plan for more ball fields that are badly needed by local sports leagues?
You know, so, of course, you guys know my wife is on the school board, so mm-hmm. I definitely support a stronger relationship between the, you know, school district and the city council. Right now, it's not that, you know, they don't really talk that much. But I would like to see more ball fields in place. We are growing. We have a lot more kids here. We definitely, it's a necessity for it. I'm sure we have properties that we could absolutely, you know, set up for something like that. Maybe even get some sponsorships. It really just depends on what our budget allows to. As far as the parks and stuff, I mean, Rotary Park's beautiful. We could probably, you know, there might be some amenities that are very affordable to add in there. And as far as the rest, to make it more attractive, the city more attractive, I'd like to see a lot more city beautification. You drive in the 95, it is ugly. Like, I mean, there's no landscaping. Those medians are just god-awful, all right? Like, I wish they would at least planted some trees in the center or something, right? And I feel like that's another thing, you know, Kingman, you pull into Kingman, you got those nice block walls. It's a lot nicer on the eyes.
Speaking of the medians, did the public have enough notice, or was there enough transparency with regard to that project, in your opinion?
Not at all. I feel like our city leadership lacks talking to the public. There's not a lot of good communication. And I've sat here and tried to figure out ways to better that. I do have a pretty good idea on getting more public engagement. I'd like to, you know, create maybe a forum or something that we can register residents and have, you know, listing what's upcoming, what's on, you know, what are we looking at, what's coming down the pipeline, and get more engagement from them. Right now, you know, outside of showing up to city council meetings, there's really not much public engagement. Maybe do some more events to connect with the public. Mm-hmm. We could absolutely do a better job on that.
Again, we're talking to Neil Tinsley. He is running for Lake Havasu City Council. And when you're out and about getting your signatures, did you go door to door?
No, I didn't go door to door.
You met with a lot of people. I was at a radio remote, and you were meeting with people.
Yes.
And that. What was the number one concern of the voters out there?
Well, a lot of feedback, like towards the end there, was there's a huge need for veterinary care and health care. That is some of the major things that we lack on. Me, myself, I feel the healthcare thing. All of last year, I traveled to Phoenix because I had my wife was a high-risk pregnancy, and so we didn't have anybody that could assist us here with that. Other than Heather Anderson did step up and really help us out when our original OB gave us a breakup letter, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was that's another story.
So I talked to Sam about this as well, but recent island development proposals have renewed questions about shoreline access and preservation. What standards or guarantees should the city require before approving island and shoreline projects?
Well, I don't think we should have any houses on the shoreline. I think approving that out there with that project was a mistake, because now you're going to see a lot more land petitioned for sale. And I would like the public, you know, the general, the residents here to have access to all that shoreline. I know growing up here, I mean, the lake was a huge part. We'd go down to the lake and post up and just have the best times of our lives. Also, I feel like a lot of that stuff that they were promising never went into contract. I feel like our city attorney absolutely failed us, and some of our council did, for not putting all of those promises into contract. Anybody can tell you they're going to do the world for you, but unless it's in contract, you can't hold them accountable.
You're talking about the newest project, right?
Yes,
okay.
On the island.
And I don't remember what the promises were.
They've said they would help with the second bridge if we came into needing money, you know, and they said that they wouldn't build any other than single-story construction, you know, until the bridge was in, and there was a lot of...
No multifamily, is that what they said?
No multifamily, and it was just a lot of great things they were offering that we didn't grab a hold of. I mean, why would we not grab a hold of this stuff? They're a developer. They're going to cost us more in infrastructure, absolutely, to support what they're developing. We need to... That's another thing with other developers, you know, mints that we come into. If there's infrastructure needed, we need to, you know, hey, if you want us to do this, you're going to have to put in the infrastructure to support your development. It shouldn't go on the taxpayers.
What's the single most important issue facing Lake Havasu City? And what would you do about it as a council member?
Fiscal responsibility, 100%.
Whose job is that, do you think?
It's every one of the council members and the mayor.
Okay.
And the city manager to look over it. I, you know, for example, the bathrooms at the Commons, I mean, like $800,000 for some bathrooms in a concession stand, that is unreasonable.
Yeah, how much per square foot is that, right?
Yeah, and I talk to local contractors, because, you know, I do go out and talk to a lot of people. When I have questions, I go and I talk to professionals to get their input, because I want their input. And, you know, I asked a local contractor, how much do you think you could have built that for? He said $400,000 all-inclusive. All right. A lot of these projects that we take on, the reason they go so over budget is they're doing what I call supplements, because I'm in the automotive industry, but they're called change orders, and they keep raising our bill and raising our bill. We need to hold these contractors accountable for their bids. I'm tired of seeing, you know, that Commons was supposed to be what, $1 million? We're at $5 million. That's ridiculous.
Should it be a policy to hire local if at all possible?
So I asked why that specific gentleman doesn't really bid, and he said there's too many loopholes to jump through. And so for me, hearing that, I would take somebody in our city and say, hey, solve these loophole problems for these people, help this, because I want to see local contractors getting the work and not outside, you know, outside of town. Keep our money in town. It'll make it'll flourish our town a lot more. You know, when mm-hmm. you're spending $400,000 on some bathrooms with a local contractor, you're feeding families locally. You know, it's not just going to another town or in some, you know, corporation's pocket. There is a lot of talent in this town, and we need to utilize it.
Folks, Neil warned me he was going to get wound up as we go.
A little bit. I'm passionate. I love
it. I know it. And this being your first time on the radio, great job, by the way.
Thank you.
But why should people vote for Neil Tinsley for city council?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is this is my passion is Lake Havasu. I absolutely love this town wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very logical, critical thinker, and I don't just make decisions based off of, you know, a quick Band-Aid. I'm looking long-term. I want to make sure if we're doing something, it doesn't have a ripple effect somewhere else. You need to look at the whole picture every time we're doing something. I feel like a lot of stuff gets Band-Aided. I feel like the fiscal responsibility has just been, that's out the window. I feel like they think that we just have a never-ending budget. We're spending money uncontrollably, and it's not adding up. None of the numbers make sense to me.
Hmm.
They're just way too astronomical. Like, right. Like, you know, the courthouse, for example. Why did we not take that courthouse? It was designed by previous council to be on to the city hall building. And they proposed what, $4 million for that new courthouse?
Mm-hmm.
We're at $10 million, questionably 12. All right, we could have built that courthouse for $4 million on the city hall and streamlined the whole process.
We're coming up to the end here.
So
great job, by the way. I'm going to have you back in June or July. It depends. I'll go through your booking agent. How's that?
All right.
We know who that is. All right, Neil Tinsley, thanks for being on.
I appreciate you guys having me.
We appreciate you. And Sean Hannity coming up next. I'm going to take this right up to the top of the hour. Hannity preceded by Fox News. We'll take a very short commercial break because Neil is so passionate. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. All right. Tomorrow we'll have John Grappentine. He is the write-in candidate for mayor. He'll be on the entire hour. And I'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Have a great day, everyone.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.